It was only yesterday the boffins at the Bureau of Meteorology came storming out of their lab and went, it's on here. Yes, La Nina, how do you say it?
La Nina
has been declared. And everyone goes, oh, what's that?
What is that?
Well, hold on. There's only the smartest man in every room he enters, Dr. Carl. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Marto, Dr. Margo, and Dr. Nick, and you're too kind. I'm not that smart. My IQ is only 110, but I do read a lot.
Is that how you say it, Dr. Carl? La Nina?
Yes, La Nina, Dr. Margo, and La El Nino. And it's fairly easy to understand. So these are one of the things that really influences the weather in the Pacific. And you should know that the Pacific by itself, the Pacific Ocean, is bigger than all the land masses on Earth.
Oh.
Okay? Yeah, wow. It's huge. Yeah, so let's dive into it. So you know that when you got some water boiling away on the stove or getting warm and getting ready to boil, you can see little droplets of water going up in the air. So in other words, warm water evaporates faster than cold water. And that's exactly what happens with El Nino and La Nina. Due to various things, you know, wind, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you can have a giant pool of warm water, and wherever that water is in the Pacific is where you get rain, and where it isn't, you get a drought.
And La Nina, you're saying, is going to be a wet summer.
Yeah, so we're going to have the pool of water across the east coast of Australia, sort of Brisbane all the way up into New Guinea and across onto the other side of the equator. And so this side of the Pacific will have a wet summer, but bummer, on the other side, they're not.
How does that warm pool of water just stay together and not break up? Is it like Milo in milk? You just get that big clump from the bottom rises to the top. Can hot water do the same thing?
The best bit.
Yeah, it's surprising. You do get clumping of water and you get the winds blowing the warm water across. So the winds tend to go this way for a couple of years and they're blowing La Nina across to us. So we're having this pool of warm water sitting off the coast of Australia. And so we'll get rains on, and I'm sorry to say floods over the next couple of months. And then when it goes the other way, the winds blow the warm water across to South America and America, they get the rain and we get the drought, the terrible El Nino.
So does this just bounce back and forth for eternity?
Yeah, well, it's been going since around the 1500s. And back then we had the Spaniards landing in South America in Chile.
Yeah.
And when you land in Chile, there's the mountains over there 90 kilometres away, but in between is 90 kilometres of desert. And Pizarro and his conquistadores were lucky because there was a El Nino year, dry for us in Australia, but wet on the other side of the Pacific. And so they were able to get across that 90 kilometres of desert. Ah. And with only a couple of hundred people, bring down an empire of 500,000 people.
Whoa. Oh, well, that's ancient history. Let's talk more modern. Last time there was a La Nina, it was 2011?
I can't remember. I haven't looked up the books, but I believe if you've been looking it up. And is that when we had the big floods?
We had floods here in Brisbane. That's all I'm supposing. That might have been the last time.
It could have been. But there are also other weather patterns as well, because we found a similar puddle of hot water on the other side of Australia. And it's called the Indian Ocean Dipole.
Oh,
and depending on where that...
One of Marto's favourite things to bring up, Dr.
Well, that and the Southern Oscillation Index, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we're going to have both sides of the continent are going to be wet. What about cyclones?
That's whenever the water temperature is above 27 degrees C, that's more likely. Cyclones might happen. Well, the thing is that we're pumping with global warming about 500,000 Hiroshima bombs worth of heat into the atmosphere every day, and that energy has to go somewhere. And we're seeing it in more extreme weather conditions.
Well, I've heard a lot of things measured before in Olympic swimming pool size, but I've never heard anything measured in Hiroshima bomb blast. So awesome work, Dr. Carl.
So it's around 400,000 Hiroshima bombs per day that we're putting into the atmosphere of heat. So it's actually trapped sunlight. The carbon dioxide acts like a one-way valve, and then the heat can get in, but it can't get out. But getting back to La Nina, there is a possibility that we could have floods this year, but the good people at BOM, the Weather Bureau, they know all about that stuff and they can make much better predictions than I can.
Oh, magnificent wrap-up. God, I'm glad we rang you, Dr. Carl. Thank you so much. Actually, have you got a new book out we hear?
Yeah, it's called Dr. Carl's Surfing Safari Through Science. And like my previous one, this will have holograms. We're just putting them in right now. The book has landed in Australia, but we put the holograms in electronically. So you download the modestly named Dr. Carl app.
Yes.
Do you have a Dr. Marto or Dr.
No,
Nick or Dr. Margo app?
I have a Dr. Margo app. It's called Instagram, Dr. Carl.
Dr. Margo. Yeah. So you download the Dr. Carl app, and then you aim your camera at the book, and then all the way through, dozens of mini-me's will pop up, say, "Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You are my only
oh
help."
Oh, my God.
Pick up a copy of Dr. Carl's new book, Dr. Carl's Surfing Safari Through Science, at all self-respecting book retailers. Dr. Carl, thanks for joining The Big Breakfast again.
Oh, look, it was a real honour. Look, thank you, and thank you for letting me talk about La Niña, one of my favourite
special.
Ours too.